Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, July the 27th. Are you getting disgusted with sports these days? With scandals in the headlines every day regarding something, doping and bicycling, steroids and baseball, an NFL star accused of illegal dogfighting, gambling and game-fixing charges in basketball. Why is this happening, and is it souring our love of the games? How about you? Can these sports regain their integrity in your mind? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. We'll talk about this with our guest, Dave Zirin, columnist for Slam Magazine, contributor to The Nation Magazine. He runs the website edgeofsports.com and is the author of Welcome to the Terror Dome, The Pain, Politics, and Promise of Sports. Good morning.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. Lots of pain and politics going on in sports these days. Is there still promise?
Is there still promise? Not in the current news. I'll tell you. This is supposed to be with apologies to Michael Vick, the dog days of summer.
Yeah.
But instead, what we're getting is the sports page exploding onto the front page with all the issues that you mentioned. And I just got to tell you, like, I've been touring around the country with my book, and it's been really surprising how many people have been coming to the bookstores who love sports but really hate what sports are becoming.
Yeah, why? I mean, they're all different cases, but why do you think this is happening all at once right now? Why is this happening?
I mean, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. I mean, this just might be, I mean, for someone who writes about the connection between sports and politics, as I do, I might just call it fortuitous. But I really do think that the common thread that runs through all of these things, whether we're talking about an NBA referee betting on games, or whether we're talking about blood doping and cycling, or whether we're talking about Michael Vick and the dogs, or whether we're talking about steroids and baseball, I mean, what runs through all of it, I think, is just the way that sports have become kind of like this, like a Frankenstein's monster that's escaped any kind of its master's controls. That it's become something where the drive for success and the drive for money and the alienation that produces has become so profound. And the sports media structure, which is now a 24-hour beast that needs all the news all the time and more conjecture and turns the heat up on all of these stories, which is also connected to that issue of money and the corporate structure of sports, has become so intense that you constantly get these tempests in sports. Now, sometimes they're tempests in teapots, but sometimes the tempests are actually bigger than we originally think, as, for example, I think the cycling story and the NBA referee story are going to be.
I'm sorry, you think they're going to be what?
a bigger tempest than the teapot can hold.
Yeah, well, we've been hearing about the cycling one is the one that just popped up yesterday or the day before with the leader Michael Rasmussen getting pulled out of the race. And we heard, in fact, let me play this clip from the chair of the World Anti-Doping Agency commenting on this.
There are cyclists who do their job and train in transparency, and we have to have confidence in them. But I can't hide my worry that there will be others who will try to kill this wonderful sport.
Yeah, so will this wonderful sport be killed over this?
Well, I mean, the International Olympic Committee, the IOC, is debating very seriously removing cycling from the Olympics altogether. And the level of scandal in cycling over the last several years has just been so profound that I think it is worth it this time us actually even taking a step back and looking at why it is that the sport is so overrun by what's known as blood doping, by crooked doctors, by illegal drugs, and why it has gotten so intensely ugly in that way. And a lot of it is, you know, and this is something that I write about. It's, you know, we make demands of these athletes to, you know, get the best times, to move further, to go faster. And biking in particular, cycling in particular, is a sport that requires just this tremendous, tremendous effort that just asking people to push beyond all limits of human endurance. I mean, that's what blood doping effectively is. Just, I mean, that phrase is thrown around a lot, but just so your listeners know, it's a blood is removed from your system. You wait till your body replenishes that blood, and then you re-inject the blood that was removed from your system, giving you excessive red blood cells, which allows you to burn oxygen even better. So you're actually able to perform at a superhuman level, an above-human level. And at some point, we just have to say either, wow, this is just a profoundly unhealthy pursuit, or we need to just pretend we all live in Oz and say, hey, however big our baseball players get, however much endurance our cyclists have, then we just accept that and understand it as sports entertainment.
Yeah. We are talking about all of the scandals plaguing the sports world these days, from blood doping in cycling to the gambling, game-fixing in basketball to the NFL star accused of illegal dogfighting, and the list goes on. Is this going to kill sports? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890. Is it souring your love of the games? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 17 minutes past 6 o'clock. On this Friday, July the 27th, coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. And what do you do when you have nothing to do? Well, after 5, Ben and his guest will discuss the importance of doing nothing. That's after 5. Well, there's a lot more than nothing going on in the world of professional sports these days. There are many different scandals in the news capturing the front pages. And we're talking about why this is happening and what can be done about it, whether or not professional sports can recover from all of these, and maybe what athletes can do or the sports world can do to regain your trust. Anything. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890. Our guest is Dave Zirin, columnist for Slime Magazine, a contributor to The Nation. He runs the website edgeofsports.com and is the author of Welcome to the Terror Dome, The Pain, Politics, and Promise of Sports. And we'll take our first caller, Jerry in Fort Atkinson. Hi, Jerry. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm going to make this short. I've had oral surgery, so my mouth hurts, but I think way too much emphasis is put on sports in this country. I think the athletes are being paid way too much, and they're being expected to do too much. And like your guest said, you know, they're using medicine now to improve their performance. And what's going to happen when that's not enough anymore? Mm-hmm. You know, the money spent on sports, on the stars, and, you know, people that just don't deserve that kind of money, I don't believe, should be spent on education. It should be spent on welfare reform. It should be spent on getting our political parties straight. The priorities in this country are just very, very screwed up. And I think that that money could be better spent somewhere else. Some guy getting $25 million a year for 10 years to play basketball or something? Come on. You know, what can we do with that kind of money in our educational system?
Yeah.
It's just insane. So I agree with your guest. You know, it's gone too far. I don't think we should forgive them. You know, the old days sports, back when the Packers were the Packers back in the 30s and 40s and all that. You know, that's what sports should still be at, I believe. So,
all right. Well, thanks very much. You did well with your oral surgery there.
Yeah, I thought he was very eloquent for having it.
Yeah. So, pick up on a. Go ahead.
Very much so about the salary structure issue. I mean, it's interesting because oftentimes when people talk about what's wrong with sports, that's one of the first things that they mention, that these guys make too much money, they make however 100 times as much as a teacher and whatnot. But I think that puts the cart before the horse in a lot of ways. I mean, one of the things as we talk about sports today is that we need to realize is that sports right now, the betting wing of sports alone is bigger than U.S. Steel. I mean, sports as an industry is so much profoundly bigger than even the wildest dreams of its founders 100 years ago. And so it's not like if that money wasn't being paid to athletes, it would be going towards our schools or towards our educational system. mean, the reason why athletes make as much as they do is because there were union struggles in the late 60s and early 70s that were strongly influenced by a lot of the civil rights and freedom movements that existed in this country at that time. And I chart that history, and it is, there's a direct connection there. And so it's kind of like, it's not like if, say, for example, Alex Rodriguez of the New York Yankees, if he made $200,000 instead of $20 million, there would be more books in our public schools, or there would even be lower ticket prices at Yankee Stadium. I mean, it would just mean that George Steinbrenner would have an extra gold mast on his yacht.
Yeah. We also, Jerry also said, not only do we pay our athletes too much, we expect too much from them.
Well, that's, I think, one of the things that I want to talk mm-hmm. about here as well, because, I mean, with the cycling thing, that's what it keeps going back to me, that it's almost like, for physical enthusiasts, it's become cycling almost like pornography. I mean, we want to see the hyper-exploitation of these individuals. We want to see how far they can push themselves beyond all acceptable limits. And it's for our own bizarre satisfaction to see somebody's lungs practically explode going up a hill. Now, of course, it's not just about the viewer or the consumer. It's about sponsors and the demands that they make, race organizers and the demands that they make. It certainly hurts cycling as an industry that there's no commissioner, that there's no union. So it's really just about these individuals and the ultimate dog-eat-dog sport, where everybody is just a man apart fighting for their own piece of space. But I think that it is worth taking a step back and saying, well, maybe we should stop the insanity here.
Yeah, but I guess one of the things I don't get, and I guess it helped me understand why, especially with the Tour de France, we've seen this doping scandal every year for the past few years. And, you know, Floyd Landis had his title stripped from him. And so they're checking for it, obviously very diligently, and they're catching it. Why would these athletes do this with the likelihood they're going to get caught and humiliated?
That's a fantastic question. I mean, other than the obvious answer of the attendant rewards of being able to achieve physically what others cannot through chemistry, the other thing is that, and this is a very dangerous thing that's happening in biochemistry right now and in medicine, is that the masking agents are actually ahead of the ability to test for them. Even with the most invasive kinds of blood testing, I mean, the amount of R&D, research and development, that goes into figuring out how to beat these tests. I mean, you talk about something that's disgusting. I mean, in a world where, you know, kids die of tuberculosis and other curable diseases, the amount of money that goes to the profit incentive to beat these kinds of tests is huge. I read one medical journal report that said that doctors in the United States treat more people for using masking agents or black market or dummy steroids than they do for problems that occur from just taking the real thing under the supervision of a doctor.
Let's go to Tom in Burlington. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Good morning. I'm a cyclist myself. But one of the things I heard about Armstrong is that when he would, at night, he would sleep in a pressure chamber of some kind or something or other. It would lower his lower the atmospheric pressure, like he was in a mountain or something rather. And I don't know about that, but one thing I'd like to point out about the effect of this adoration of these athletes, and throughout history we've always adored his athletes, even as far back as Rome. But one of the things is, a basketball player is 7 feet tall, his arm is 3 feet tall, and if he stands up, the hoop is only 10 feet tall. So a lot of these people, they can just walk in there and drop that ball right into the hoop. And the effect that this has on a little kid who's trying to put the ball into the hoop, and this is his hero, and it gives kids this feeling of insecurity or inferiority or something or other when they're looking at these heroes and they can't duplicate what they're doing, and they don't realize, well, this is really kind of a stage thing. For instance, with the wrestling, every move a wrestler makes, he's got his body all puffed up, and he's supposed to be a He-Man, and he's someone who's looked up to. And the kids don't realize that every move is choreographed. It's all a phony kind of deal.
Yeah.
Now, as being a golfer, I just want to point this thing out. When the ball gets in the hole, if you watch a golfer, he'll take his putter and he'll put it in a 90-degree angle of that hole, which actually is making a dent there, and the next guy who comes along, and if he hits that little groove and his ball scoots off this way or scoots off that way, I think that's another thing people might look at. Okay, kids.
Thank you, Tom. Lots of observations there. I don't think golf has any scandals plaguing it now, does
actually,
it? Does it? No.
Actually, golf is enmeshed in a pretty serious scandal right now. I'm sorry to just keep piling on.
What is that one? I haven't heard that one.
I mean, Jesus, if 67 was the summer of love, I don't even want to think what this summer is. But Gary Player, who is a Hall of Fame golfer, he has his own clothing line, as I'm sure more people know him from that. He came forward in a very public way to talk about that he knows for a fact that players are using steroids on the PGA Tour.
You're kidding.
I'm dead serious. And this has caused just a huge sturm and drang, as he says that, you know, he's considering perhaps naming the names. He knows for a fact of players who are using. And, I mean, I never thought that that would be an issue in golf.
Yeah, why would you need to be a He-Man to do this?
I don't know. I mean, especially when you have the advancements in technology with clubs and balls and whatnot. But, I mean, I always even wondered whether golf was even a sport, because I don't think anything that you can smoke cigarettes while doing is a sport. Or something that you can actively gain weight while participating in is a sport. But I guess it is, because people are taking steroids.
Or the beer carts coming around.
Exactly.
Speaking of the sports that really aren't sports, I didn't bring up the steroids in the wrestling with the hideous murder-suicide in the news, because a lot of, you know, it is fake and staged, but still, these are kids do look up to these athletes, and these wrestlers are all pumped up on steroids too, aren't they?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, we could go through that, like the ridiculous, farcical nature of steroid testing in the world of sports entertainment. I will say this though: you've never heard gallows humor until you've been in a wrestling locker room where people talk openly about, so who do you think's the next one who's going to die?
Oh, God.
I mean, the death rate in wrestling compared to any other industry in the United States is just profound. And I'll tell you, just the other thing about wrestling, though, is that we know that it's choreographed, we know that it's a fake, but at the same time, as all what they're called smart fans will tell you, the people who feel like they're in on the whole thing, there's the sport within a sport in wrestling, which is, how far can you push your body? What kind of crazy stunts can you pull? How dangerous can you make a typical wrestling match? And particularly when we forget sometimes that steroids and whatnot, it's not just about building muscle mass, it's about overcoming injury.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of wrestlers take it. They take them, of course, illegally a lot of the time, without under a doctor's supervision. And as I write in my book, the issue of steroids as a health issue is not an issue of use, but it's an issue of abuse. And that's what you see in wrestling.
Yeah. We just have a minute before a news break, but any comment on what kids are thinking right now and what this is doing to kids watching their sports heroes in all these scandals?
Yeah, I mean, it hits close to home because my wife is a public school teacher at a big sports high school, and she has students who are athletes, and their main complaint is that a lot of times, like, they're just sort of told by their coaches, like, don't use steroids in sort of this blanket way. But then it's like they see their heroes succeed through doing it.
Yeah.
And there's an absence of real education.
We're going to talk more about this after we check the news, talking with Dave Zirin, who is the author of Welcome to the Terror Dome, The Pain, Politics, and Promise of Sports, talking about all the scandals plaguing the sports world these days.
The training of these poor creatures to turn themselves into fighting machines is simply barbaric. Barbaric. Barbaric!
That was Senator Robert Byrd on the Senate floor last week, condemning people who participate in dog fighting to the hottest places in hell. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 6:36 on this Friday, July the 27th. Atlanta Falcons quarterback Michael Vick was charged with operating an illegal dog fighting ring this week. And it's just one of the many scandals facing the sports world these days. There's the dog fighting thing, there's doping and bicycling, there's gambling and game fixing in basketball, there's steroids in
just about every other sport, golf, in baseball, wrestling. Why is this happening, and what is it doing to the world of professional sports? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Can these sports regain their integrity in your mind? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We are talking about whether athletes and professional sports in general can regain our trust following the barrage of recent scandals in the news. Our guest is Dave Zirin. He is a columnist for Slam Magazine, contributor to The Nation Magazine. He runs the website edgeofsports.com and is the author of Welcome to the Terror Dome, The Pain, Politics, and Promise of Sports. Dave, I wanted to ask you about the Michael Vick situation. Now, he was formally charged, and I was watching some video of this. It was like he was doing the perp walk with this huge crowd of people outside the courthouse booing him and carrying signs. And, of course, he says he's not guilty. There's still a debate in the NFL over whether they should suspend him right away or even suspend him for life and before this case makes it through the courts. What's your take on all this?
Well, I mean, this is one of the things we only touched on at the beginning. Mm-hmm. As part of the function of us even having this discussion is the fact that we now have this 24-hour sports media beast that's constantly cycling, pardon the pun, I suppose, and recycling these stories and trying these cases before they happen, which makes it, I think, very difficult for people to... I mean, I would argue that that's in stark contradiction with a legal system where you're innocent until presumed guilty. I mean, so you get the bombast from someone like Senator Byrd in advance of even a trial as if that has no effect on the atmosphere that then occurs around the courtroom. And in this case in particular, I mean, I think it's very important that we wait and see actually what happens and let the legal system run its course. But that does highlight a couple of things that I think are worth discussing. I mean, one is just the attraction to pit bulls that really does exist among a minority of NFL players, that it is a pastime among some players. And I'm not quite so sure why this should surprise us, given the violent nature of the sport. And this goes back to what we were talking about before. I mean, football is a sport where any play can be your last. I asked one player about the attraction to pit bulls. He called it a case of trickle-down violence. And this idea that they then want to be the controllers of that violence instead of the controlled.
I saw a piece that you wrote, too, that says that, you know, we're shocked by this, the violence of the dogfighting charges, and disgusted by this, but we're not shocked and disgusted by the violence on the football field itself.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing about sports as well. I mean, we're talking about the commodification of violence. I mean, that's what the NFL is. It's 3 hours of tightly compacted violence, and we become just absolutely shocked when that violence spills off the field. Now, that's not to excuse dogfighting or to excuse fights in a bar that may occur after a game or any of the things that we would deem as antisocial behavior that might happen among a minority of NFL players. But I do think it's important for us to realize that if, as a society, we are going to take pleasure in what is, at the end of the day, a violent pursuit, we then shouldn't be shocked when that violence spills over. I mean, I don't know if people even realize how violent football is. I mean, Andre Waters, I write about this in the article, he's a former safety for the Philadelphia Eagles. He committed suicide at age 44, and the autopsy revealed that his brain was that of an 85-year-old man with Alzheimer's disease. And this issue of Alzheimer's, premature Alzheimer's, of people in their 40s, is something that is very real among this generation of NFL players.
To the phones we go again. Mary in Milwaukee, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. When I heard about Michael Vick, I was warned, first of all, not to watch any videos or newscasts because it would really, really upset me as a pre-vet med student. I think this man, who earns $25 million a year playing football, I mean, I hope he's prosecuted and loses his job if he's found guilty. He could be using his time and his money to help animals. There are so many strays out there, so many animals that need help of one kind or another. So I'm very glad that you have this on your show today, and I agree 100% with the clip of Senator Byrd and his comments regarding how barbaric this is.
Yeah.
Dogs are man's best friend, and this man, this Mr. Vick, if he's found guilty, he should lose his job, and he should be prosecuted to the highest possible extent. Thank you so very much for letting me comment.
All right, thanks very much.
Couple comments on that. I mean, first of all, I mean, Michael Vick doesn't make anything close to $25 million a year. That's not to say we need to have a telethon in his name, but you know, he makes a tremendous amount of money. But it does speak to sort of how the blanket media condemnation. People think everybody makes, like, maybe two players in professional sports and the main sports make $25 million a year. But so I don't think we should use that as shorthand because it's prejudicial. But the second thing, too, is, like, that this is in advance. We don't know what Michael Vick did, and I think we need to just let the legal system really run its course and find that out at the end of the day about what actually occurred. And the last thing is, I mean, it does raise the issue, I think it's worth saying, about, like, our dog's man's best friend, of course, our pit bull's man's best friend. Well, this is, you get to a very interesting debate. I mean, you're going to have callers call in and say, well, no, pit bulls aren't inherently bad. It's how they're trained or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's completely it. But there are other schools of thought that say what you're basically domesticating what amounts to a feral animal. It would be like saying, well, you should be allowed to have pet sharks or pet grizzly bears.
Yeah,
and
well,
that's
a debate. Maybe we'll wait for another day.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. People get very emotional about that. I've found out that very emotional. But I do, just real quick, I worked for several years in a place called Prince George's County, Maryland, that has a euthanasia law when it comes to pit bulls.
Right.
If the county finds that you have a pit bull, they will put that pit bull to sleep.
Yeah. We had a situation in Madison where a lot of pit bulls were confiscated in a suspected dog fighting situation, and most of them had to be euthanized, too, because they were not very, they wouldn't be pets. Perrin is traveling along Interstate 94. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My comment was that, you know, it seems today, not all, but many athletes have a lack of humility and a lack of respect for the game. And most notably, I'm talking about, you know, basketball, where it's just this idea of, you know, I'm jibbing and jabbering and it's just they feel this attitude, and then it spills onto the court. You see Ron Artest. And also my second comment was that...
You know, I'm sorry, Perrin, you broke up just a little bit there. You think basketball in particular, the basketball players don't have a respect for the game?
Well, not all. I'm saying but many. And it's just this kind of prevailing attitude about respect and all this. And they don't... Respect for one another, but they don't have it for the game. And my second comment was that, you know, it's just... For sports like tennis, it's much more pure for me. And as far as the integrity of cycling, that's gone down for me. I don't know if I'll get faith back until doping is gone. And basketball, I don't know if I'll get that back. And even football with steroids, and especially this whole Barry Bonds thing, it doesn't sit right with me that Hank Aaron did it without any help. And that's my comment, is that sports like those, they don't have integrity for me anymore, but sports like tennis, where you don't hear much about anything. Like, Roger Federer is just an amazing athlete, and I respect him for that.
Thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate it. It brought up a lot of stuff for us to talk about, but we'll have to talk about it after we check the weather. It's weather break time. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, as we talk about all the scandals hitting the sports world and the front pages just in recent weeks, and what this is doing to our image of sports, and whether or not we will ever regain our trust in athletes and sports after all of this. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 12 minutes before 7 o'clock. I hope you stay tuned. We'll talk about The Simpsons coming up after 7. And what our guest says, the TV family says about life, love, and our pursuit of the perfect donut. Talking about The Simpsons, long-running TV show, now The Simpsons the Movie, which opens today, coming up after 7 o'clock. We're talking about sports and sports scandals during the rest of this hour with Dave Zirin, who is the author of Welcome to the Terror Dome, The Pain, Politics, and Promise of Sports. And we just heard from a caller before our weather break, Dave, it was Perrin who said that, gave us kind of a list of why he was disgusted with a number of different sports. You want to just pick up on any of that in terms of he thought that there were certain athletes who didn't have respect for the game either?
Yeah, and I say this not to excuse, but to explain. I mean, I think when people get upset with athletes for whatever, mugging too much for the camera or things like that. I mean, I think they need to realize that the athletes who do that are the athletes who also get noticed, or the athletes who get endorsement dollars, or the athletes who stir up media attention around themselves. And so it's kind of funny because everybody says that they want to return to the humble athlete of yesteryear, and there are many humble athletes, yet they're not the ones who get noticed, so we don't discuss the humble athletes of yesteryear. I mean, that's just, I think it's a reflection of just the culture that we live in right now. Humility is not in, according to Us Magazine, I guess. what's in is being able to make as much of a public spectacle of yourself as possible. And so until you have a broader cultural paradigm shift, you're not going to see a shift from that as well. But this speaks to just something else, if I could say, because even the previous caller mentioned this about Michael Vick should be suspended for life from the NFL. Etc. We have to remember that athletes aren't like movie stars. I mean, George Clooney's going to make movies for decades, and for better or worse. But when it comes to athletes, you're talking about, in the NFL, they have a professional lifespan of between 3 and 4 years. In the other sports, it's not much more than that, which is why I personally believe that suspending these guys in advance of a conviction in a court of law does, I think, just far too much untoward harm to them and their ability to make a living over the course of their lives.
He said he's going to stop watching the cycling. He's getting sick of basketball. We haven't even talked about that referee.
Now that one's huge.
Yeah, you said that is going to turn into be more than a tempest in a teapot.
Yeah, I mean, most of these stories that we discuss are the sort of things that it's going to be all bark and no bite. And this is going to be one of those rare stories, I think, rare sports media stories that we think is not going to be huge but may end up being bigger than we think.
Now, why do you think that?
Well, I mean, I think that because there is a broader crisis in the NBA, as any fan will tell you, of a lack of credibility in the officiating system. The belief until now, the sort of conventional wisdom, has been that the commissioner's office, David Stern being the commissioner on high, assigns substandard refs to games that he wants to see certain outcomes result from, for the purpose of extending playoff series, for the purpose of making sure that star players are able to get their due. This has always been something that's been part of the culture of the NBA, of people saying that about the sport. No one ever thought that this was actually about real referees being really crooked, dealing with real mobsters who are threatening their lives. Yet this is something that it looks like what we have with Tim Donaghy, the ref who's been under surveillance by the FBI for quite some time and already, according to reports, is talking about naming names. Now, and we don't know, frankly, if that means naming names of other officials or naming names in terms of the mafia, or what have you.
But you don't buy NBA Commissioner Stern saying that this is just a rogue, isolated criminal.
Well, that's the thing. He may be correct when it comes to the number of referees. I mean, we don't know that. I think it's irresponsible of him to say that in advance of even the investigation. I thought that was an irresponsible act on his part. I hope it doesn't come back to haunt him or the league. But the thing that makes it wrong for him to make it about the isolated one person is that it doesn't explain why David Stern as recently as 4 years ago could call his referees the most mentored, analyzed, and skilled group of people in all of corporate America. Yeah. I mean, it's like, come on. I mean, but at the same time, you have one who's the mob's got his hooks in him. At the same time, you have this total crisis of confidence among fans. I mean, it just it speaks to a broader issue of transparency.
Yeah.
And it's something that really is shaking fans' faith in the league.
Yeah, give us your comment on Barry Bonds getting ready to break Hank Aaron's record.
Well, it's interesting because this is where you get the perspective. One of your previous callers says Henry Aaron never had to face anything, like never had to deal, take anything funny or things like that. And but you know the cynic could say, yeah, but Henry Aaron also never had to face any pitchers who were on steroids. So maybe there should be an asterisk by Henry Aaron's record. I don't know if I want to say this in Wisconsin. That might get me,
I was going to say, I don't know if you'll win any fans there.
No, I don't have to say.
And
just
he said,
kidding.
Our caller also said that the sport that he likes to watch now is tennis because it's not marred by all these scandals. Is there any scandals in tennis?
I'm sure there will be when we wake up tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
I mean, any sport that requires physical endurance and the ability of athletes to overcome injury, given the propensity of masking agents among performance-enhancing drugs, will eventually have a scandal. I mean, if you can have, like we were saying, Gary Player in the world of golf, say, I know people who's a person of tremendous, who has a tremendous credibility, say, I know golfers who are doping, then I think it's about time we eschew any pretense that this isn't happening in every sport. And as far as Bonds goes, I mean, the mere fact that we're talking about this so expansively, I just find it somewhat ridiculous that he then becomes the symbol for anabolic evil throughout the world of sports, that he becomes the lightning rod where it all goes on his shoulders, when in fact this is something that stretches across the sports landscape.
Try to get a number of callers on who have been waiting. John in West Bend. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I hear no mention of auto racing from F1, Indy, even local club racing. How clean or dirty is that? And they are athletes, the drivers.
Mm-hmm. Are they, Dave?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we go back to the question of can they smoke or gain weight while doing their sport. And I guess they can't smoke because that would be really dangerous. And even gaining weight would be difficult unless they had a protein shake. And it takes some form of agility and, I guess, reflexes to keep shifting on that car. That's on the one side. But on the other side, they only need to go in one direction and only keep making that one turn. So it's hard to say whether or not they're athletes. But I've never heard of any particular scandal going on in the world of auto racing, except when it comes to doing things like putting the equivalent of TNT in the engines so they can rocket fuel, so they can explode past other. But isn't that like a steroid in its way? Isn't that a performance enhancer?
Could be.
If they're putting rocket fuel in the cars, I don't know.
I don't know. Jackie and Drummond, are you serious with your question?
Oh, yes, I'm still here. I just have one comment and then just two comments. First of all, I've just always felt I hold athletes up to a higher standard. What really bothers me is like the sexual scandals of the Vikings. That really sends a bad message. But I was just wondering, I'm in the heart of the Birkebeiner cross-country ski areas. How pure is the cross-country skiing? Did you do any research on that and their performance in the Olympics? And
Dave, you should just wait 15 minutes.
Yeah, I fear that if you want a skiing expert, you might have to find another guest. But just about the Vikings thing, one just quick thing about that is we haven't touched on the issue of sexism and violence against women here.
Mm-hmm.
And I do find it rather bizarre. Like you mentioned the Michael Vick perp walk, about the degree, the anger that's engendered when there is a lot of violence that spills off into families and against women by professional male athletes, and how that's greeted by the media with a ho-hum.
Yeah, a good point. I didn't bring it up in part because I didn't think there was a recent scandal. But
right.
There are, yeah. The
right.
One more, Michelle in Denmark. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make the comment about the back to the Michael Vick case. With the pit bull fighting, I'm a veterinarian, and I often see as an emergency vet the unfortunate results of these things, and it's quite a horrible thing. But I wanted to say that the analogy of saying, well, there's violence on the field in football, and so why should we be surprised that there's violence that trickles into the rest of their lives, and almost excusing it in that way, I think that's a pretty facile analogy, because these players have a choice that they make to play this game and participate in the violence, and they enjoy it and compete to get to do this. They get paid millions of dollars. But the animals don't have a choice. They're forced into it. They're beaten and drugged and made to do this. And so it's not really a choice they have, and they're not gaining anything from it.
Right. And I guess I didn't want to put the debate on whether dog fighting is a good thing or not. I don't think anybody thinks it is. But just a minute to talk about it's the player's choice to be on the field doing this.
No, that's a good point. Mm. It's something I've come across by a lot of people since I wrote the article. But once again, I mean, we're not talking about to excuse, we're talking about to explain. I mean, if we really do take a step back from it, why should we be surprised when you have athletes involved in a sport that gives you Alzheimer's disease in your 40s, that cripples you before you even are able to reach middle age, and then we're surprised that they engage in a sport, if you want to call it that, of course, that's as violent and as brutal as dogfighting.
Dave, we're going to have to leave it there. We're at the top of the hour. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, my privilege. Thank you.
Dave Zirin is author of Welcome to the Terror Dome, The Pain, Politics, and Promise of Sports. Thanks to Leo Duran and Christina Taylor for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.